my sister began to cry. And she was sobbing. It was one of those ones where she was weeping. And she said, "Mom, I'm watching her and I don't understand why she's crying. So I'm going in, I'm doing my thing." Come to find out later that the reason she was crying, she had approached Mom and she said, "Mom," she was crying because she had a violin. And she was playing the violin crying. And my mom says, what's wrong? She said, "Oh, Curtis will never understand the sound of music." Hey, I've never heard it. But that was a precious moment. And that's normal for us to have a delay in conversation, right? So when I say something, if I say it, the translator has to take time to translate it to you. And that's when you get, hey, amen, right? There's a little bit of delay. Even when there's an interpreter on the platform, I'm sitting here, the interpreter is going to interpret, and it's going to get to me second. Well, everyone's done clapping their hands, and I'm still lifting mine. That's normal. You know what I mean? But the last thing I want to say is, I promise I'll get to my verse here soon, but when my three kids were small, I was at my house, and they could hear something. The three kids could hear something that I could not hear. That's all right. Let me tell you, it's all right, okay? But these three would run to the door, and they'd run outside. I'm like, what noise is making them run outside? Oh, the noise was right down the street, because at the last house on our street, there was an ice cream truck playing some music. And it had come around the corner, and they could hear it before I recognized the fact that it was even around the corner. I did not like that. But with the Holy Ghost, there is no delay. We have the same Holy Ghost. That's the best way to do it. Because God will blow that trumpet, and when he blows that trumpet, I can hear it at the same time as you can. There is no delay there. I'm going to hear that trumpet sound, and that's when I will be caught away. I will be caught into heaven. Finally, I will be on the same plane as you. And what's more, the Bible says in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, it says, day and night, rest not. We're not going to be resting. We're going to be rejoicing. And I'm going to be a part of that rejoicing. Hallelujah. I want to hear the beautiful sound of heaven, and I look forward to hearing it. Now, and I'm sorry, I don't need an interpreter in heaven, so I'll be good there. Are we ready for church? Amen? If you can open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 20. You can stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture here reads in verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that," and this is the important part, "faith without works is dead." Simply stated, clearly stated, we know that faith requires you to do something. And my title here, if you can bring that up. My title is Faith Leads to Action. Faith leads to action. I just hit my elbow. Hey, I've still got one hand. I can still move that. Now, hey, there's one time I actually fell down the platform. My feet were up on the stairs. It's not happening on this one. But this is clearly stated. This requires us to do something. Hallelujah. So, your action is required in order for faith to mean anything. And that means it's your turn to do something. So you take God at his word. You understand what he's saying. Now do something about it. It's your turn to do. You take action. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we pray that you would give me your word so that I can be your messenger today. And I pray that you would give us some faith. We understand that leads us to action in order to do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, and you already know that God, and I can go down this, the things of that God is, and you know, God is unlimited, right? We all know this. God is not limited by any time, place, or anything of that matter. He is everywhere and anywhere. And that is something our carnal mind cannot understand. He's here and here and up there and down here and over there and back here. He's everywhere. He knows your situation through and through. He knows what you're going through. And God can do it. He cannot do anything until you call on his name, right? You can, if you take the name out of the equation, you're going to struggle through life, and you will continue to do so, because we know that God is able, and God has all power. He is not limited in any way. Now, understanding this, we also cannot measure God's ability. If you measure God's ability, God will bless you according to your measurement, because you're limiting him. Hallelujah. So why don't we go ahead and say, God, you can do anything. And that's when God will do anything. And that's according to your faith, according to how you operate. You take 3 steps forward and you get those 3 steps of blessing. That's great. I don't want those 3 steps of blessing. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep pushing, because I know, God, you can do anything. Do you agree with me this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and say hallelujah. The devil does not want you to say hallelujah, but guess what? We're going to say it in the house of God, because, hey, I am tired of falling and failing and having the devil trying to dictate my life. Well, guess what, devil? I'm going to step up. I'm going to get up and take action according to what this book says. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given me. And the devil will say, oh, you're it's like marbles, basically. That's the only little bit of faith you have. Well, guess what? That little faith is all I need. I can speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And that's all we need, is the size of a mustard seed. Hallelujah. Now, we have a situation. We know there's a story here. There are two frogs, and they're both together jumping because they had fallen into a tub or container. But let me tell you something. These two frogs are trying to get out. They're jumping, trying to get out of their little container. And they keep trying and trying until it becomes exhausting. They begin to quit, because they've come to a point where they can believe that they will not make it. Regardless of the effort, they've said, I now cannot make it. And this is a decision that was not brought upon them by anybody else but themselves. Just like us. Oh, I can't make it. I can't do it. That's a decision you've made. You can't blame the devil in that instance. You've decided to back out. You've decided to quit on God. Amen? That is clear. We have faith. We just need to develop with our actions. We need to do something about it. And you say, God, I need a financial blessing. The Lord will bless your finances exceedingly above what you can contain. But that doesn't mean you miss your tithes, because those things are first. You take care of God's things, he'll take care of you. So these frogs try to get out of this container, and they realize that they're not going to be able to get out. One of them does not quit. He keeps jumping and jumping and jumping. One of them has. The other one is constantly jumping. He's still jumping. But this one has faith that he's going to get out regardless of the cost, regardless of how long it is. It just demands patience and perseverance. You push through regardless of the situation. Your prayer, you may feel like nothing is happening, and you've been praying for years and you're about to give up. But that is proof that you're doubting. You're doubting, hallelujah. Your prayers, when you quit on your prayers, you begin to allow doubt to creep into your life, just like the first frog in this story. But the second one, who is still jumping, who is still pushing, knowing, I'm going to get out of this situation. Prayer is going to impact my life and impact my situation. Hallelujah. It will happen, and it can happen today. Let's not be like the frog over here, the first one who quits. Let's be like the second one. And in this story, the second frog who is jumping and constantly jumping, finally gets to the rim of this container. But this one's not surprised. He knows it's going to happen. Hey, I've got to the rim. I've made it. And he makes it out. But he wasn't surprised that this situation happened, because he had done so with perseverance, with patience, with pushing forward regardless of the situation. And if you follow that, your life can be changed as soon as today with faith. So he gets to the edge of that, and he's able to climb out. And he realized that the one that had quit, or the one that had got out, was deaf. And he was ignoring the one that was telling him, oh, you can't make it, you can't make it. We should be deaf to the devil. We're not going to listen to what the devil has to tell us. Hey, guess what? I can't hear you. You keep talking. You keep telling me I can't do anything. But guess what, devil? I'm not listening to you. Hallelujah. Faith will work. Your actions are required in order to make anything happen. People say, oh, you know, I have people tell me this all the time. Oh, you know, you have no idea, brother. I am 100% faith. And they're sitting there smoking their cigarette, drinking their vodka, whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, well, if you got that faith, come to church with me. Oh, no. Because they don't understand the meaning of faith. I mean, I do. I know. It means we need to do something about it. We can't just hear his word. We need to be doers also. Will it happen? Will it come to pass? Yes, it will. But it requires you to take that first step of faith and that second one. And you say, well, you know, I'm not sure. Well, if you're in that situation where you're not sure, that's when you're allowing doubt to creep into your life. And the devil says, are you really sure? You look silly right now. Are you sure about that? Well, hey, guess what? God has never brought that into our life. He said, you have faith. You can do this. I'm giving you this. You come to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a good example. Jesus, obviously we know the story, walked on water. He walked on water. We know the story, and I'm going to make the story short to get to my point here. But we see Peter in the boat, and Peter sees Jesus. And instead of allowing himself to be distracted by the laws of nature, which you could be distracted by that, you could look at that and think, this is impossible. He is not distracted by that, but instead is having all of his faith placed in Jesus. And I don't care what the doctor says according to your situation or what do you got going through your body. I don't know, but do not follow the report of the doctor. We follow the report of Jesus Christ. We worship him, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. We give him the faith. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Well, give God that praise. Give God that faith, because he's able to mend and repair. But he's waiting for you to call upon his name. He's waiting for you to reach out to him. He's waiting for you to call him out. Say, hey, Jesus, that's when he comes. He's not deaf. He can hear you. He can hear you. He's not hard of hearing either, where he needs hearing aids. That's not the case. But that doesn't mean we go, Jesus, no. I know, God, you are able. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to cry out your name, Jesus. Hey, I'm sorry, neighbors. This is about me. I don't care about you. This is not your situation. I need God in my life. Jesus. That will shake the foundations of your situation, and that will call the attention of God through your faith. And it's not necessarily by your deed. Your faith requires you to do something about it. He cannot ignore your faith when you are doing something about it. He will then answer according to your need. Hallelujah. I got two water bottles, so this is going to be a long sermon. We'll see. We'll see what God wants. Like I said, I'm thirsty. I look over at the water bottles. I'm not going to get hydrated until I walk toward those water bottles and drink, right? You need to walk towards God in order to be filled with this Holy Ghost. You can't just look at him. You got to do something about it. You got to reach out to him. He says, those who thirst, come to me and I will fill you. You can be speaking in tongues until you are overflowing, but you have to do something. It requires some faith. Well, you know, brother, I only have a little bit of faith. Well, guess what? That's all you need. That's all you need. That's precious. At least it's something. At least you have it. Regardless of the measure, according to our scriptures, we know we just use our little bit and say, well, I need you, God. That's a precious moment when the Holy Ghost then can be poured out in your life. And then you open your heart and you are filled until you are overflowing. And that is proof. That is evidence that you have received his Holy Ghost. People said, oh, you know, that's something that was a long time ago. Nothing happens today. Well, that's a lie from the devil. See, here we go. Take two. That is a lie from the devil. The devil is a liar. Says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive, and it's to all those that are afar off. is not just to you, it's to everybody else, all the way until today. And oh, by the way, if you have yet to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that's precious, because today is your day. Well, let's not worry about the restaurants and then, okay, after we take care of my flesh, we can then take care of my spirit. No. The devil has a fire hydrant, and he's trying to blow out that fire you have in your life. He says, oh, you know, you need to cool down. You know, first you need to take care of some other things, because the devil does not want you to move while you're in the spirit. He does not want God to receive the glory. We're not going to allow the devil to do that. We're going to allow God to move us in ways that we are allowing him to touch us. So we're going to rejoice. We're going to have a party. We're going to have revival in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Energy's going down. Just like in your prayer life, your spirit life is going down because you're not praying. You come, you get refilled. You get that energy. You get that spiritual rejuvenation again. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The world thinks you're crazy, but that's okay, because that's how we were meant to be. We were meant to be different. That's proof that we've got the Holy Ghost. It's proof that God is living inside us. There's proof that we're different. Yes, I'm crazy. Come on to the other side. Taste what we've got. Hallelujah. People come up to me. People will say, oh. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The devil will try to get you to a point where you're ashamed to share something about the gospel. Well, guess what? The gospel is alive. I've experienced it. I'm the child of God. That's precious. He's adopted me. He's adopted me into his family. And he's preparing a place for me. And then when he calls us, we can rejoice because we know that it's coming. It's not here yet, which is a perfect opportunity for us to get everybody else that we can into this thing, because we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. You feel good in this place? This is what I'm talking about. God is here with us this morning. God is trying to reach out to you. He's trying to touch you. He's trying to reach you. And he will not cease until you open your heart. You say, oh, you know, I'm too old. I'm an old man. I've got too much life experience. I've got so much Holy Ghost and so much people prayed through. I don't even need to do it. No, I will never get to that place in my life. Revival will always be a priority in my life. It does not matter how old I am, how young you are. Every creature needs the gospel of Christ. There's one situation where I was teaching in Florida, and I had a woman of 72 years old get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And she received the Holy Ghost. She understood the revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that God is moving in this place, and we should not contain that. Let me get to my point here. Make sure I push this water bottle further away so I don't knock it over. So I had somebody tell me, oh, I feel so sorry for you. And the devil will try to tell you this, oh, you know, life is really hard. Well, the devil will never understand our situation. The devil will never understand how we're feeling. I'll tell you, devil, too bad. But someone told me, they said, hey, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. The world is just so much fun. We just got so much stuff to do. We love to party, and we can have all these hangovers, but it's okay because it's a cool day. And I think he does not understand one thing. I'm not going to be tucking my ears down and hiding my tail behind my legs and cower away in that situation. If we do so, we don't have enough Holy Ghost in our life. We don't have enough fire in our life. And in those situations, I say, no, 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 no. Usually in those situations, I say, what do you mean I don't understand? What do you mean I don't understand? Hallelujah. And let me say hallelujah. Now, and I just say, what do you mean I don't understand? In reality, you don't understand, because I was there. I know what it's like. You don't know what this is like. This is better. Come and taste and see. You don't know what you're talking about. It feels good in this place, amen. So we're going to be at full alert. When somebody says anything, we're not going to cower away. Now, I know it seems like I'm all over the place, but I'll get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Regardless if you're having a bad day or not, maybe you're upset, maybe you've had an argument with your wife. I'm glad my wife is deaf. I can just turn the lights off in our arguments and it's over. She'll turn the lights back on, no problem. There's no difference there. Hey, yeah, we argue, but I love her. I love her. Yeah, you've got to solve those problems. Before the sun goes down, you've got to solve those problems. It doesn't work? Hey, you know, whatever. No, I thought being deaf was an advantage. It's not. Now, so we see in our Bibles a story of a man that's sick with the palsy. And in this situation, it didn't take the faith of one man to get this man sick with the palsy to Jesus. Because everybody had begun to hear about the works of Jesus, the deeds of Jesus, the miracles that Jesus was performing. Just like us, when we hear the word of God and we read our scriptures, we see God's word. We see his deeds. And these men knew that Jesus was a healer. But it took more than just one man. It took four men. And those four men, their faith began to build with each other. And the devil will hate that because then they begin to operate in the spirit together. And they said, well, you know what? Hey, let's go ahead and get this man. Yeah, God can do anything. Oh, God can do anything. That's right. He can do miracles. He can raise people from the dead. Oh, here, I can do you one better. He can do one right now. God is able to do those things. There's no limitation on our God. But God will not do anything until you call upon his name. He's waiting for you to do so because he has all power. He's ready to do so, but he will not until you ask. And so they say, yeah. So these four men, they say, okay, we're going to work together for one purpose. Jesus, he's a healer. Today, he's still the healer. He can't just heal you. He could also heal your situation. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your finances, not just physically, but spiritually. God can do anything. So these four men decide, hey, we're all going to operate in faith. We're all going to grab onto the stretcher. It took those four men, one on each side of this one, to work together to bring this man sick with a palsy. So they pick him up and they bring him to Jesus. And this is where I'm getting at. Your faith will lead you to do something about it. Yes, you believe Jesus is a healer. Yeah, he seems quite afar off. Well, if that's the case, well, let's do something about that. Let's make a decision. And these four men did so. And they did so in unity, where they pick up this man sick with the palsy and they bring him. Who knows if the road was rough? We don't find that in our scripture. It may have been smooth or rough. They may have had to go around, make a detour, go down a dangerous road. Who knows? But they made their way to Jesus because they knew that he was a healer. So they made their way to Jesus with this man. And their faith the entire time did not wane. And someone may have said, oh, it's too long, and set the stretcher down, and maybe another one quits, and another one quits. That's not the case. We don't find that in our scripture. They all pushed through until they were able to find where Jesus was, because they knew, Jesus, you are able to heal this man. You are a healer. You can heal this man. And so regardless of how far they had to go, regardless of the obstacle, regardless of the situation, we also then find something arrive here in the situation. There's a crowd. They can't get to Jesus directly. There are too many people, because there may be some needs there that are closer to him that are more important than I. And they didn't say, sorry, guy, we're just going to leave you on the ground. They said, no, we have a purpose in this thing. He's there. This man's still sick. We're going to bring him. No excuse. So, yes, this house was full. They could not get to Jesus. Oh, is there another way to get to him? Let's check out another door. Oh, we can hear him through this wall here. He's preaching. And they may have been inspired in this instant. Just like when we can hear today, when God tries to speak to us. God's calling us. God said, come to me. You're so close. Just take another step. Just come a step closer to me. He's waiting for you to call out his name. Hallelujah. So they bring this man sick with the palsy all the way to Jesus. They find him full, the house full. And he says, there's still another way. There's still another way to get to Jesus. Regardless of, if there doesn't seem a way, there's always another way. Their point is, I need to get to Jesus. So they come up to the roof of the house. And the man may have, you know, he may have been traveling, who knows, I don't know. But they think, wow. So what they do then is decide to tear apart the roof. Could you imagine Jesus teaching and having some of that dust from the roof falling into the room? But Jesus knew what was happening in that instance because he's been waiting the whole time. Just like he's waiting for you. He's calling you. Nothing is impossible to God. Amen? Your faith will work. Your vision, you may think, wow, my vision is just too big. I don't think it'll come to pass. Just like this frog that quit, the way to escape, it's too tall. I can't get out. When God gives you that vision, you think, wow, this seems so big. And then reality hits you. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know if that'll work. No. Do not cut that vision short. God has given you that vision for a reason. You leave that vision alone. Because the time is coming for it to come to pass. The time will come. Do not cut the vision short. You think, God, that's way too big. There's no way. Let's look at reality here. Let's go ahead and cut this part. Let's make it more realistic, God. Let's go ahead and make, no. And, well, it's still not happening, God. Let's go ahead and cut it a little shorter. When you do that, you're losing your faith. Don't cut the vision that God has given you. When God shows you something that is precious, that is yours, that is your mission, why do we cut that short? Let me tell you something for a second here. In the year 1999, I was praying in my house, and God showed me a vision. And you want to know what God showed me? He showed me two sentences, and that was it. He said, many, and it was twice, many, many deaf people shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was something from God. The second thing was, many, many deaf people shall be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what God has showed me. And my flesh began to creep in. Well, wait a minute. I feel bad about it now, but I thought, well, God, that's way too good to be true. There's no way that you put too many's in there. I thought, wow, that is way too good to be true. So maybe that many part, I think I misunderstood that part. I think it's just many. Let's just get rid of one of the many's. Let's be realistic here. And then after a little further, I said, well, okay, let's just say a person that is deaf will receive the Holy Ghost. But it was way too clear, that vision, that I could not do it. I tried. I thought about it. But when I did, I began to be convicted. Why am I doing this? Why am I cutting short what God is promising in my life? Let me tell you something. We all know the story of Zacharias, who was praying and praying and praying and reaching out to God. And it's been the same prayer year after year, day after day, doing so for one purpose, for one thing he prayed. Reaching out to God consistently for that one thing. His wife was way too old to have a child. So he was not looking at the situation that seems impossible. He said, God, I believe you can do it. You're going to give us a son. You're going to give us a son. And he prayed about it. Why don't we get that attitude in our life where we continue to reach out regardless of the situation? Do not give up. You may be getting your miracle the next day, but you've given up a day too soon. Do not give up. We need to have that relationship with God anyway, so why aren't we praying anyways? So Zacharias is praying day after day after day. And don't forget that God has heard your prayer. Yes, he has. He's heard your prayer. But he's waiting for the perfect time to answer that prayer. That time is coming. It's coming. I promise it's coming. It will. God has heard your prayer. He knows what you're praying about. But just hold it just another day. Just another day. And it will be for God's purpose. And you say, well, God, I need it right now. He's coming. He's coming to bless you. Let's just keep reaching out to him because that time will come. The Holy Ghost is not something you wait on. That's a different discussion. You get the Holy Ghost right now. You don't hold that on. You get that right now because he can come back tomorrow. The Holy Ghost is for you right now.
Yes, you feel dry in your spirit and you haven't received the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? It's Sunday morning and we're having church. Come and be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues until you are overflowing. Hallelujah. And the devil say, well, you know, you're full. It's good enough. I don't want to just be full with the Holy Ghost. I want to be until I am overflowing. I don't want to just be full. I want it to where I'm overflowing. Full is not overflowing. I want you to know that, because I want the brim of this cup to be completely wet. It does not need to be dry. It needs to be overflowing. So I am full until I am overflowing. And out of this belly, I'm receiving this Holy Ghost. I feel it coming into my heart. That, in that moment, when you feel it, you're in that process of receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't cut that short. You lift him up. Who cares if your neighbors are watching you say, I have never seen you worship like that. Who cares? You lift your hands in the air and say, God, I'm giving you everything. Open your hands and say, hallelujah.
So the angel appears to Zacharias, who's praying. He says, your prayers have been heard. And so Zacharias is like, oh, okay. So this is, we understand the situation. It's beautiful. But in that moment of wow, Zacharias begins to look at the situation. Well, she's got no teeth. She's got her dentures in the glass outside of the bed. Why do we do that? Hallelujah. Why do we doubt? He says, God has heard your prayers, which means it's going to come to pass. Your prayers have been heard. You reach out and the devil says, oh, you know, I don't know about... No, be deaf to the devil. Do not hear what he has to say to you. You reach out and you only listen to what God has for you. Regardless of who is grabbing at you, trying to pull you back, God's going to answer. God's going to answer. I'm holding on to my promise. I'm reaching out. If I have to crawl on my knees, I'm holding on to my promise. Because the blessing will come. Those doors will be opened at any moment. Hallelujah. So the angel says, thy prayers have been heard. And in that moment, he begins to look at the situation. Well, how? I know I've been praying about this, but she's old. What do I do? That's when he receives his punishment. And then you find in the story where his wife truly does become pregnant. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God in this place. Every morning, the devil will